Blog Talk Radio.
I love it how you guys just stand up and just chat. It's great.
Yeah, have a chat. Okay, no, seriously though. I will sing, I promise. I know there's some people in here like, God, I wish that woman would shut up. Okay.
This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are sponsored by A.P. Taylor, and we all hang out at allpoetry.com. It's a giant site to write poetry and stories, and You can join for free. Again, that's allpoetry.com. And if you want to hang out with us, you can check out the group tabs and look for A Team of Voices and knock on the door, and I'll meet you there. If you join or are already a member, you can participate in the shows if you're interested. Just follow the topic boards that are on top of the chat wall, and they all start with the date of the show. Click it and see if the prompt tickles your muse. You can participate by listening to the show. You can participate by calling in, providing poetry, or not participate at all. It's not a requirement to be in A Team of Voices. Tonight, we are going to step into some dark poetry in a moment. But first, let me educate you a little on the song we just listened to. It was actually a song written by Screamin' Jay Hawkins. And he was an American singer, songwriter, musician, actor, film producer, and boxer. Powerful operatic vocal delivery and wildly theatrical performance of the song I Put a Spell on You. And he sometimes used macabre props on stage, making him an early pioneer of shock rock. However, the one I just played for you is my favorite version, and that was Jocelyn Eve Stoker, also known as Josh Stone. And she is an English singer, songwriter, and actress who rose to prominence in late 2003 with her Maltley Platinum debut album, The Soul Sessions. And she had her second album, Mind, Body, and Soul, in 2004, which topped the UK charts. And it spawned the top 10 single, You Had Me. And her third album, Introducing Josh Stone, was released in 2007. And she released a fourth album, Color Me Free, in 2009, which reached the top 10 on the Billboard. She released her fifth album in 2011. And her first three albums have sold over 2,722,000 copies in the U.S., while her first two albums have sold over 2 million copies in the U.K. She's earned several awards, including two British awards and one Grammy Award out of five nominations, and made her film acting debut in 2006 on the adventure film Aragon. And like I said, I love her version of it. I surely wish I could sing like her. And the most famous version of the song I Put a Spell on You is actually by Creedence Clearwater Revival, which I intentionally did as a segue into letting you know that tomorrow is Hatter's Jukebox, and he will educate us on the group CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, and you'll hear the most popular version of the song I just played. But Put a Spell on You is a nice October song, and again, can't help but love the way she sings it. And in the meantime, let's get the poetry show on the road. My co-host and my big brother Hatter is here. Hey, Hatter, glad you're here.
Yeah, I made it. Yeah, it was a naughty song.
What'd you think of that? I love that song. Love. Yeah, and I love her singing it. She and I are kindred spirits, because if you ever watch her perform, she's always barefoot on the stage. And I'm always barefoot, too. And like I said, I wish I could sing like her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we also have another board member here, Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Sweet Pea.
My Sweet. She must be mooted. Ah, there she is. I heard that voice. Yep, then she disappeared again. Okay. Also, right behind Sweet Pea is Sky Darkholm, one of the hostesses. Welcome to the
show,
Sky. Glad you're here.
Hi, guys. Hi.
And right behind Sky, we have none other than Mr. Wayne Gent. Hello, Wayne. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
I got a spell on you. Call you, man. Yeah, it's on.
Great song. Yeah, great song. I love it. And right
I'm
behind
mooted.
Miss, there she is. Sweet. I thought
sorry.
I heard your voice for just a second, and then you were gone.
I know, and then I dropped my phone. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm glad you're here. And I am opening the line for Mr. D.W. Prophet. Hey, David, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. Thank you. There's no place I'd rather be than on the air with Deborah Lee.
Oh, you're a poet and you know it. How about that guitar, Dave? How about that guitar? And that song.
Oh, what one? Huh?
Which, well, okay, how about those guitars?
Oh, I mean,
it was like awesome.
You mean your intro on your show?
Yeah, tonight's intro. Was amazing.
Oh, that was pretty good. You know, I actually almost thought that was Janice for a little bit there until you corrected my thinking on it. The guitar player sounds an awful lot like the one that Janice had planned for her, so that kind of threw me. But, yeah, I liked it. It was cool. That's one of my favorite songs, too. I love the way Creedence did it. I like the way this lady that you introduced me to did it. And, yeah, it's a good song. It really is.
Josh Stone, J-O-S-S Stone. Yeah, and I do agree. She has the same bite as a Janis Joplin, and, like, magic happens when she gets up on that stage barefoot, let me tell you. All right, so I am going to just – me too. That's my favorite version. I'm going to jump in, and I have Skye's poem on the board. So, Skye, why don't you show us what you got?
I'm sorry. Can I wait 1 minute? Because I just didn't like the couplet at the end, and I'm trying to fix it. I literally just finished this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll grab my suite.
Okay.
And put her up there. Not a problem at all. Let me just grab that. Okay, dokie. I am on my way to the board with it. And as soon as you guys see suites, click on it, and then she can show us what she brought.
Oh, goody. So as I'm putting my dogs up so I can read, here we go. I know. It's like, okay, let's get them settled so nobody has to hear them bark. All righty then. This is called Chains. And I love this picture, by the way. Thank you. Your breath is foul with the stench of desperation. Each pore from your body drips with sweat in anticipation of the animal you desire to capture and tame. She is seduction, the lost artist between heaven and hell. Scrumptious and scrupulous, she sits, keeper of the chains, praying the reaper to assign her to your name. Darkness greets apathy with a gentle kiss goodnight. For evening comes with shadows and goodbyes, as imps and angels greet devils and strangers with smiles. She giggles and begs, whispers sweet nothings to me, Lucifer babe. She flaps her dark wings and tightens his chains. She winks at the reaper and goes out to fetch the name on her list. Tall and handsome in leathers, he rode fast down the road. She appeared out of nowhere, and into a tree his bike blew into bits, taken to hell by a red-headed angel and her naughty kiss. She spanked number two, and number three she had to bite. Number four and five were together, so she made them both jealous. Number six was funny. Number seven through nine were false alarms. The last call of the night, number 10. She wasn't supposed to have him. The love of her flesh. How should she choose his final demise? She waited until the edge of dawn. And before she woke, evil invoked empathy. She carried him to heaven's gate. She faced the devil's scorn and folded her wings to the floor. cast her eyes away from Lucifer and the Reaper's view, for her heart bid its due, and now the chains belong to him. And a poem.
Wow.
Well, holy cow. Yeah. I couldn't wait to see where you took this art. And, of course, you did not disappoint at all. I love the first line, your breath is foul with the stench of desperation. It's like, oh, boy, here we go. She is seduction with the lost artist between heaven and hell, scrumptious and scrupulous. She sits, keeper of change, praying the Reaper to assign her to your name. How creepy. Whoa, that was awesome. I like she giggles and begs and whispers sweet nothings to me. Lucifer, babe. Lucifer, babe, that made me giggle.
Yeah.
She spanked number two and number three. She had to bite. I'm like, my, oh, my. She had some fun. The last call of the night, number 10, she wasn't supposed to have him, the love of her flesh. How should she choose his final demise? Sweet, you are a master at these. Your details, the tones in your voice, the mix of sultry and sinister that happens when you read your work. She faced the devil's scorn and folded her wings to the floor, cast her eyes away from Lucifer and the Reaper's view, for her heart bid its due, and now the chains belong to him. And like, what an outcome. And I say give her 5 minutes and she'll have those chains reversed. Let me tell you, you are really, really awesome. And again, I say, I thought you weren't supposed to be posing for these kind of pictures anymore. Just saying. Fantastic, Cher. Let me get some comments. Mr. Hatter, what you think of that?
Poor biker. Yeah.
Poor biker.
It did it to me. Angel with not a kiss. I like how you counted it down. Wasn't supposed to have him, number 10. Yeah, evilly good.
Great comment. And David, what do you think?
Well, I really like this. I thought it was superb. Your breath is foul with the stench of desperation. That sort of reminds me of some of my eHarmony dates that I've had in the past.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously. This was really cool. I like the storyline, the way it went, and the little trip that Sweet took us on. That was pretty neat. Kind of kept us guessing there right up until we found out about number 10, and then all bets were off then. So I thought you did a really good job on this, Pam. I like the way you crafted the story to fit the prompt. That was pretty cool, and I thought you did a really good job with that. So, but I like all your stuff anyway. So,
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. This was really fun. I enjoyed it very much, very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome.
Oh, awesome comment. And Wayne, what do you think?
Chain. That was number 11. That was number 11. I had no chance for heaven. Her, Lucifer, and Reaper is quite the crew. I love me a red-headed angel. Your poem is wonderful, your voice evil, and the words dark. Excellent poem for the season. I love it. Great job, Barrow Street.
Oh, thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, I must admit that when she said the title, the song popped into my mind for a moment, too, until I got lost in her voice. Just saying. Sky, what you think?
There was, like, a lot going on in here, man. First of all, it was like, so dark. But then you just got, like, these giggles in there, and then the Lucifer babe. I don't know. It was like, I don't know. It just pops out at you and it's unsuspecting. And then when you got to the number two and the number three and giving out all these punishments, I was like, what's happening right now? But it was really, really cool. And I really loved the storytelling. And it was unpredictable because, you know, I think dark writing kind of normally follows like a vibe, and you use specific language to keep that within that frame, and you kind of just like said, all right, we're going to tear that frame down and we're just going to add some really fun stuff and be really dark at the same time. So I thought that was really cool. Well done.
Thank you. Awesome comment. And Sky, before you read, sweet, how about if you tell us what you have coming up?
I will message you when I'm done, Deb. Sorry.
Okay.
I usually come prepared.
I have old words from the old language. So there are several words that I have listed on my topic, and then I have sites where you can go and find your own old words. So I'd like you to write me a poem using old English words I think that need to be in our current vocabulary. Like everybody says, I have something to do the day after tomorrow, where I think we should use the word overmorrow, which means the day after tomorrow. So instead of saying, you know, I have something to do the day after tomorrow, you simply say, I have something to do overmorrow. It's shorter. It's just simpler. I don't know why it ever left our English language at all. There's another really great word, and I swear to you, comes from the late 1700s into the early 1800s. That means something that is perceived as great value and beautiful and means something of value, but it actually has no value at all. Absolutely no value. Again, let me tell you once again, it is from the late 1700s, early 1800s. Great value, but means nothing at all. And the word is trumpery. I'm not making this up. So there are there are great words that we have forgotten in the English language. I have some listed. There's a bunch of sites you can go to and find your own. It's really great fun, and I want to bring that out this Thursday. The following day is Bring Me Your Legend, which is very exciting, whether it's the famous Headless Horseman, vampires, vampires, wolfmen, whatever your famous legend is, or make one up, or you have a neighborhood legend, something that's spooky down the house, or you're being haunted by your great-grandmother, I don't really care. If Deb will indulge me for a minute, I would like to read you one of my favorites, if I may. May I be indulged, Deb? Okay. So this is one of the samples I'm talking about because this is one of the creepy legends in my world. So a little girl and a little boy, or a little girl is staying at her house. She is afraid, so she puts her dog under her bed. Okay, so the doggie's under her bed. At night, she hears something terrible, and she reaches down to pet her dog, and everything is good. So the dog's licking her hand, she falls back to sleep. In the morning, she goes into the bathroom, only to see her dog slaughtered and hanging from the curtain rod, or the shower rod. And on the back of the wall, inscribed in blood, humans can lick too. Bring me your legends. That's on 10/19.
Love it.
So I'm looking forward to that show, too. All right, that's what's coming up for Sweet Bee in the next couple of weeks.
My, oh, my. That's one of my favorite legends. I've heard it more drawn out with she hears this drip, drip, drip. She reaches down. He licks her. She figures the world's all right, but the world wasn't. Yeah,
yeah.
No, I love that. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. I shortened it a little bit. I didn't want to indulge too much.
No, 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 that's cool. I'm absolutely thrilled. When you started, I was like, oh, I love this one. I love this one. Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. And Hatter, I put yours on the board while Sky finishes hers up. So will you read for us? There you are.
There it is. Okay. I picked that picture, and I thought it was going to be easy to write to, but it wasn't. For those that never asked why, and it goes like this. The crystal that kept his heart alive glowed to those who had no eyes, to those who could not hear the sounds of vibration oozed from underground. The queens that gathered at dawn to dust realized what it was to trust. What glitters is gold and goes untold until the past is seen running dry. The kingdom is said for the living dead and those that never asked why.
Well, I have to say, Hatter, it doesn't sound like you couldn't write to it. Just saying. The crystal that kept his heart alive glowed to those that had no eyes. That's pretty cool there because you can't see, but it glowed for you. So that's really awesome. To those who could not hear the sounds, a vibration oozed from underground. That's kind of spooky, you know? What a way to get around someone who cannot see or cannot hear. You just glow for them anyway, which probably would be very startling since you're used to not being able to see, and then you can see a glow. And the vibration that oozed from underground, depending on how much it rocked, you'd be thinking you were in an earthquake or something was coming up from down below to get you. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I liked the end. The kingdom is said for the living dead and those that never asked why. Don't forget to ask why, everyone. That's all I can say. I thought it was pretty clever, Brevity Hatter.
Thank you.
My sweet?
You know, I think there's a lot of really great lines in here, and you covered some of them, but the one that I really like, what glitters is gold and goes untold until the past is seen running dry. What glitters is gold and goes untold, what until the past is seen running dry. I mean, I think that a lot of us, you know, sometimes, quote unquote, live in our golden or glory days or what we think was what was so great in our past, and I was so much better, or I was so much younger, and I did this, and I, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I like that a lot, until the past is seen running dry, where, you know, our past maybe wasn't all that great and we can do a lot better in our future, or we learn from our past and we go to the past. But, you know, there's so many people that live in the past, whether it's through their anger or through their greatness. I really like the philosophy in that, until the past is seen running dry, because eventually you have to come forward and guess what glitter is gold, or is it gold? And I don't know, there's such sound philosophy and perception in that right there, especially, you know, realize what it was to trust, because sometimes we're blinded by our future because we're running in that glittery gold of our past. I just found it really wicked and freakish.
Thank
cool
you,
comment.
Sweet. Yeah, sort of borrowed the thought from, there's a lady I know, all that glitters is gold.
It's Tolkien. All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost.
Are lost.
I have that as my pop socket on my phone because I'm a nerd.
Way cool. and Sky, you want to comment some more?
Yes. Sorry, I'm like. Yeah. So yes, I did. I liked that. Was going to be my comment actually, was that I liked that twist and that plan, and what you did with that. I thought that was really cool, and it's one of my favorite quotes. And I always like to see things revisited in different ways and different consumable ways. Because I mean, if you love a quote like that, you know, there's a thousand different ways you could pick it apart. And of course, I don't know. It just makes it in the forefront of your mind. And so I liked that idea. I like the darkness that you brought in. And, you know, until the past is seen running dry. And I think that makes me think of a lot of things, but it also makes me think of, you know, what was so fresh and gold and bold and vivid in one's mind can fade and forget and start to dim. And it's a scary thing that when it happens and you're like, I don't even remember this person's face or sound. You know, it's just a lot of things. So it drove me into a very deep thought on that. Really well done.
Thank you, guys.
And you didn't message me. Does that mean you're still working?
It's just this one line. It's just this one end line, and I'm not going to be ready till I'm happy with it, and that could be...
No, not a problem. I just didn't want to move on.
We might be here till tomorrow.
No, it won't be
until
tomorrow.
it should only be about an hour or so, but we'll see what happens. I put the link for Wayne's poem on the board. If you guys would click on that, I will push his recording.
You want to comment first?
I'm sorry?
Can we comment on Patter's point first before we repay it?
I'm so sorry. Yes, please. Wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. David, will you comment on Hatter?
I like that poem a lot. And I have to agree with what Pam said about the third stanza, third couplet. really says a lot about that. You know, people that don't learn from their pasts are due to repeat the same mistakes in the future. And, you know, the learning process is having a certain amount of humility about you. And if you don't have any humility about you, then you don't realize that you've done anything wrong and you don't see any error in what or anything that you could have done better. And so to me, that third couplet there is the whole gist of that poem. I really like it. The rhyme and meter in the poem is perfect, as usual. So, yeah, it was a good poem, Adam. Really good.
Thank you, Dave.
Great comment. And Wayne, thank you for reminding me that I didn't let you guys comment. Will you go ahead and comment?
Yes, I said excellent rhyme. What glitters is gold goes untold. I love the internal rhyme. I don't want to know why because I might die. Great rhythm, good read, nice squeaky brevity. Great job on the poem and in fantasy football. Good job. This poem coming up is a little love poem I got going on here that you get to hear tonight. Hope you enjoy it.
Awesome comment. Now, if you guys go ahead and click on Wayne's piece, I will push play in the studio, and we can hear a treat, I'm sure. And... before I push play, let's say hello to AP. Hi, AP. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
You got here just in time to hear Wayne. So
perfect.
Go ahead and click on that. And if you need to read and go, put your link on the board, and we'll get you up right after Wayne, please. Here we go.
Okay. Thank you.
This is called Damn Decision. Shared our lives for so many years, fought the fears and wiped the tears. Love so grand lies within our heart, no power known can turn us apart. The passing came, our lives we lost, together we'll stay no matter the cost. Souls embraced tightly, never to let go. Our love so strong, all shall know.
Heaven accepted the ticket I had and ruled the life she lived bad. The devil strongly tugs upon her feet. Salvation to me feels so sweet. The love I have, please don't fail. I will not leave her to go to hell. Love so grand, louder than our heart. No power known can tear us apart. The darkness surrounds, such as night. Don't know if I will ever see the light. I know our love will remain the same, even after I quit playing God's game. The hour from God, he did not vent. Released from heaven, to hell was sent. Love so grand, lies within our heart. No power known can tear us apart. In.
Wow, Wayne, very, very emotional. The sadness in your voice was pretty heady, and the two lines that you repeated in there, I think three times, made it very lyrical, like it could be a really sad love song. And the "I know our love will remain the same." Oh, wrong one. "Love so grand lies within our heart. No power known can tear us apart." And just your, we'll call that the chorus, just your chorus absolutely speaks of the art you chose. But between the feel of that art and the sound in your voice and all the different details, you could just feel it. You made us feel, as you read, "Together we'll stay no matter the cost, souls embraced tightly, never to let go. Our love so strong, all we shall know, all shall know." I just think, like I said, that you really spoke from that art, like you could have been the male of that duo there. And the it didn't matter the ire coming at you. Your love is so grand. It's in your hearts forever, on and on. Even when you're gone and just skeletal remains, although I can see like the wings, so it's like taken on after. I just, like I said, very lyrical. Excellent. I really enjoyed it. Great job.
Thank you.
Hatter, what you think?
Come back to me, please. Come back to me, please.
Absolutely. David, what do you think?
Well, I thought this was really good. I would have never thought to done this poem this way. So I congratulate you on your originality here, Wayne. Really makes you think, too, when you listen to. You did a really excellent job of reading it, and You got a hold of me on that one, and then after I started listening to the poem and what was said in it, it makes you really think. You know, I like the second to the last stanza here. It says, "The darkness surrounds such as night. Don't know if I will ever see the light. I know our love will remain the same even after I quit playing God's game." You know, I don't really see very much sin in this poem, so I don't think that the characters have much to worry about going to hell, really. But then I'm not God either, so. But anyway, this was really well done, really well written, and I enjoyed it a lot. It was a good, really good poem.
Thank you, Dave.
You bet.
Great comment. And my sweet?
Hey, Wayne, you'll do anything to avoid alimony again, won't you?
Anything.
No. This is beautiful. It's very... This is beautiful. I thought it was wonderful. But as they say, love is hell, no matter which way or where you are. I loved it, darling.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I love you.
I love you.
Awesome comment. And Sky?
A lot of love going around here. I thought that this was really well done. I enjoyed it, like there was a pleading in this, you know. When you get down to the I will not leave her, to go to hell, love so grand, lies within the heart, no power known can tear us apart. There was this pleading in it, and a pleading and a promise, and the twist they kind of put it on it, like saying, you know, even after death, there's still going to be that commitment. And I think that can be framed in many ways. And, I mean, you say it in your vows, right? You say, till death do us part. Wayne's like, no, we're going to not do that. And not even till death do us part. So I like that little twist, that little turn. really, well done, Wayne.
Thank you very much, Erica.
Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment for Wayne and then read your poem for us?
Yeah, look, I love the emotion you got through on this, Wayne. And look, the rhyme scheme, something that's like you just looked at it straight off top, was really quite straightforward, but it belies the emotion that lies underneath the words. And it's a classic example of where the delivery of the words and what was in them is more than what's written down, and you did a wonderful job of reciting the piece.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I've got an effort to make. Tomorrow, dinner's on me when I win the $1.55 billion tonight.
Awesome. I spent the $2, so let's hope one of us win, Wayne.
I really struggled with this one, Deb. No, I really struggled with this one. I just see what's going on in the Middle East at the minute, and I just think it's horrible. The whole thing is horrible. And so this is Blood Flows. It goes a little bit like this. People dancing in freedom and friendship on sands. Families squatting in old stone apartment buildings, in the path of young men with guns, in the path of young men with bombs. And where to draw the line on where this all started? Some would say hundreds, other thousands of years. Yet again the blood flows, and the rivers they build. And everyone knows this does not resolve anything. It stains our world. End poem.
Well, you know, what's darker than some of the reports that were on the news today? Not too many things. Some of the details had me nearly in tears. I was saying earlier this afternoon that a well-seasoned news person was trying to describe what they saw at that music festival today.
Mm.
And it caught my breath. I mean... And one of the other commentators had said how it's even more of a terroristic act or worse terroristic act than 9/11, because that was some terrorist in an airplane who, you know, drove into buildings and killed a lot of people. But this was people looking into somebody's eyes and then doing some of the things that they did to those children, to the grandparents, and then when they were done doing all the horrible things that they did to the people, they numbered their dead remains. I mean, horrifying, blood-chilling, Blood Flows, perfect title, and in the path of young men with bombs, and where to draw a line on where this all started, where, how could anything anything in the world have led to the things that they did to those people at that music festival, let alone the rest of it. I mean, it's sad, it's horrific, and I think this says it quite well. And like I said to start, what could be darker than the reality of some of the stuff reported today?
Yeah.
Clever way to approach this. Make people look at what's going on. Great share.
Thank you.
Sweet? Sweet, are you muted?
Yeah. AP, it doesn't need a comment. It stands on its own principles, and our hearts and minds are in the same place.
Thanks.
Great comment. And Wayne, please.
Well, as I said, I've been transfixed by this cruel action that has taken place. Halloween has no greater fright. How can someone claiming religion commit such acts? Your poem tells the story well, and the story is sickening. I feel like you do, AP. Great job on the poem.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne.
Oh, awesome comment. David?
Okay, I just turned my mute button off. I really like this, AP. Kind of makes you scratch your head and go, huh, sometimes when you hear about all this crap that's going on in the world today. And for what? I mean, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to people, but it doesn't make any sense to people that are sane. It makes a lot of sense to those that are doing it. Because they're not insane.
Yeah.
They are insane, you know. And I really patch on the back for stepping up and writing to this this situation that happened. And it's very timely and it needs to be said. More people need to be doing this sort of thing. We need to talk about this and do something about it. And, you know, I'm glad I didn't see this because it would have really made me sick, but, thank you for writing this. And you did it so eloquently as usual. And, so well done. That's all I can say. It's really fine.
No, thanks, Ted.
I think new.
Great comment, David. Hatter.
Yeah, you take away the spirituality of growing up, or you don't allow it for generations behind us. It fills with the void that's described what's going on. There was a reason for religions, and it's been hijacked. These people are, there's no word for them. You can say heartless, you can say killers, you can say gutless, but it's evil. And if we can't stop playing the game of gotcha, we're gonna lose to them.
Yeah.
And absolutely
great
terrible
comment.
Nice job, AP.
Thanks.
And Sky, please.
Yes, I think it's important when you have a, you know, the thing about poetry, right, you're put on a platform and you're able to voice your thoughts and your words, and that's an important and responsible thing at times. And when you look at poetry and different venues of how we get out information and how we teach or and I say preach, but I don't mean that in a religious way. I just mean, you know, preach our minds and preach our souls and say this is where I am and this is where the world is. I think it's important to be able to have that voice. And and for two reasons, well, for many reasons, but I will name two reasons, because one, you know, sometimes information is not available to, not that it's not available, let me rephrase that, it is not consumed or presented enough or taken in and easily ignored by by on purpose or just by a sheer coincidence or say, you know, distancing of looking at the news or what's happening. And I think when that happens, people don't cry out, no, this is wrong. And you think people don't involve themselves. And when poems like this or when information gets out in different types of ways, you know, I think it's going to be heard. And it is important that it's heard, because if it's not heard, how is it a change? And then again, you mentioned how does this change when we've been going through these cycles for forever? And when is it going to change? So I thought it was very thought-provoking and prevalent. And well done, EP.
Thanks, Scott.
Great comments, Guy. And AP, I appreciate you calling. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know. Thanks for everybody for their comments. It's been horrible watching what's going on, and I just hope and pray that somehow they find some way of stopping this. That's all. I don't think they're going to, but I hope they do.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I hope
so. Or in the words of John Lennon, imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, everybody.
All righty. Love and respect.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Miss Sky, did you want to tell us about your show before or after you read?
I'll do it after. That's fine.
Alrighty.
So I just want to say before I read this poem, because I think we'll understand better. This is based on a Greek myth about Caprisus and Apollo and the stag, and it's basically kind of saying where we get cypress trees, because cypress trees are known as a morning tree and they produce sap. And this story in Greek mythology is supposed to make one understand or have a like most Greek myths, there's a story to reason out why something in the world is the way it is. And this is why the cypress has sap, and then it's really known as the tree of morning. So, yeah, there you go. So this is. On the Isle of Chios, shapeless was the moon's sun as it stretched on cheek, like a vagabond named Anon, yet to tend an ossuary of grief. And as its nimble threads caught the eye of Caprisus, so stilled the slumbering tread as javelin strove to be injudicious. The stag consigned to grave was gulped by a thirsting soil, and the boy who wailed to save forswore the Morii and their toils. He prayed to his beloved Apollo and any deity that might save his soul, and in replace of that hollow there grew race roots to console. And as the morning cypress, he still pines a silver sapling of gold, for the stag once loved found lifeless, buried in a garland of purple and wool, and poem. And the guy got turned into a tree. That's why that picture reminded me of it, by the way. The Caprisus got turned into a cypress tree. So that's what the picture reminded me of.
I can see why, because it looks sort of like tree branches where the arms were torn at the bottom. So, like, what a clever approach. Shapeless was the moon's sun as it stretched on cheek, like a vagabond named Anon, yet to tend an ossuary of grief. The thought of the moon's sun was pretty cool. I really like that. Towards the end there, he prayed to his beloved Apollo, to any deity that might save his soul, and in replace of that hollow there grew a root to console. I like the line, to any deity that might save its soul. It's like the desperation, anything that could help, praying to you, I'm begging type of thing. It was, and then in the end there, and as the morning cypress, he still pines, a silver sapling of gold. But the morning cypress, of course, mourning like in grief, and he still pines. That's like a really, really clever play on words, because it's pines like I'm pining away for you. But because you're mentioning it with trees, I don't know. I just, for some reason, I like to play on words.
Well,
there.
The cypress
still
is a pine.
Yeah. So I like the like the dual meaning sort of. And from the stag once loved, found lifeless, buried in a garland of purple and woe. The sorrow, the sadness, the dread, and the thought of being buried in a garland of purple and woe is pretty hard hitting. I don't know if that's what you said. I think you said the last line. Well, I definitely think that when you settled on your last line, it couldn't have been any better. I love the thought that the image of purple and woe, I mean, a garland of woe, it's just, it's very, very clever. It's got powerful emotion. I like how...
Thank you, Deb.
Like a legend and a tale from past generations all mixed into one here. Clever use of
the
art.
And Caprissus was given the gift of the stag by Apollo, and the stag had garlands of purple, and he had silver gold, and he decorated the antlers with silver and gold. And by accident, one night he killed the stag by accident with his javelin. And then he was so sad that they turned him into a tree to help his sadness. I don't know. It's just a good story. A sad story, though. Thank you, Deb.
Yeah, very, very sad story. Sweet, what do you think?
I'm almost going to have to study now. Study to see things on her poems. So now I need lessons, Sky's lessons to learn how to read her poetry. Okay, because I thank God I like Greek mythology, okay? So, but now I have to go back and think about my Greek mythology. So, you got this guy, who, you know, shapeless as the moon sun, who's hanging out in the room of the dead, or being tend to as, like, the room of the dead, if I've got that right. He's caught the eye, all right? He's still striving to be something more than he should be, okay? He's hanging around waiting for the fates to tell him what's going to happen. He's you know, he's wailing. And then he's praying to Apollo or any deity that might make him more than what the ghost he is or the wraith he is, like he doesn't feel like he's anything. And then somehow he gets to be the cypress tree. Although I'm not quite sure who makes him the cypress tree. Is that the fates?
The gods.
Or is that Apollo?
The gods. Yeah, the gods. I just put the fates in there because he needed to yell at somebody. And thanks for catching the fates. Yeah, I was just... that's not the real story. I made that part up. Like, he's just he's just swearing at the fates. Like, he's just really angry.
Okay, so he's just yelling at the fates, tossing, you know, whatever. There you go. Okay, because that kind of confused me. I'm like, who is he? Why? Okay, was it Apollo or the fates? Okay. So I really like this story. I like the cypress tree. And I did not know it was a mourning tree, just FYI. I didn't know that that's what its place was, so I learned something. Buried in the garland of purple and woe. I think that's really beautiful. And you taught me something. So I learned something from your school. You have beautiful language in here. But you do make me think of, okay, who is this and what's this and what does that word mean? And
Okay, yeah. But I was very excited that I recognized the fates in the Greek form, or the Latin form, whichever it is. And I was like, oh, I know that. So I had to give myself a little star. But I was
I'm
confused.
Giving you a star. Good job. Sky.
But I was confused who gave him, granted him the Cyprus, whether it was Apollo or the other ones, because I didn't know the story. But very well done, and very intriguing, very thoughtful, and great. I would have never thought that, like, to make this story out of that particular picture. So I do love how your brain works, very much so.
It does.
You are
amazing. Your hands do look like they're praying, you know, so I just, you know, thank you.
Yeah, again, it's a great picture, but I would have gone somewhere totally different. This is why you have your brain and I have my brain.
And that's a good thing.
Yes,
great
it
help.
Is a very good thing.
Thank you.
Hatter?
So what was the line? Was it the very last line?
So I originally had ended it in a couplet, and I had a different rhyme scheme, and I did not like the rhyme scheme that it was ending on, and so I had to figure out what I was going to do, because it was actually a different rhyme scheme, and I did not like the end. I couldn't make the end, the last line rhyme without a rhyme that I didn't, that wasn't forced, and even though it's a slant rhyme now, I'm okay with it. So I was just, I originally ended on a couplet, and I didn't prefer it, and then I had to, so I changed the wording, and then I had to change the end line for the catch rhyme. And then I said, you know what, woe is kind of close to gold. So I just went with it. But it's all in the way you read it, right? Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Awesome. Wayne, did I let you comment?
No.
Will you please?
Yes, I will. I think I should never speak to a tree that is me. Your terminology was excellent and the period to the poem. I like that. And in the face of that hollow, there grew rafts, roots, shifts, and soul. That tells the story there. Your read was excellent, and this is a very poetic poem, and I think it is like you. Wonderful. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And David?
I learned something off this poem myself. I did not know, as well as someone else did, that the cypress was considered a mourning tree. I didn't know of anything about the storyline in this, but I found it fascinating and tragic at the same time. I don't know. If you want to get to Dave Robert's heart, all you got to do is start talking about dead animals and stuff, and that'll do it. And the last, the third from the last line in the last stanza, for the stag once loved found lifeless buried in a garland of purple and blue, that really tugged at my heartstrings, and the whole thing did, but it and then, like Pam said, the wording in this is lovely. It's fantastic. So well done, Sky.
Thank you, Dave.
Comment, and before we have David read, we'll get Sky to tell us what's going on, and then we have David's and four others to get done, and then we'll be finished for the night. So Sky, tell us what's cooking for Wednesday night.
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm really, really, really excited. And if I didn't tell you, I'm super excited. There's only one poem on my board right now, so go check it out. But I honestly am okay with a limited amount of poems because I have so much planned for the show. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there was this anthology-type series happening on Netflix, and it was the first installment was The Haunting of Hill House. Of course, it is based on the short story by Shirley Jackson, and if you have not read that, that is a great story. And I'm such an advocate for the book must be honored, and I love the book, but there are so many different versions of The Haunting of Hill House that I was, and this series was so good that I was actually okay, that it didn't actually, they really just took the names, they took the names and the themes from the book, and they actually took the text, some text from the book, and they put it, but other than that, the show series is nothing like the book, but I'm perfectly okay with that. I have lots of characters. You could write to any of the themes, scenes, characters, and quotes. If you've never seen it and you don't know who the characters are, that's okay. Click on the quotes, find one you like, and write me a spooky poem. Absolutely fine. There's no need to know the series or the book to write a poem. You guys can just build off of the theme, and I will bring the fandom, as always. And that's out at 8 on Wednesday. And for anybody, I think you guys all, at the end of the month, and I'm just going to say this because these ones take a while, anybody who wants to reserve a prompt for my D&D Halloween special, I think everyone here has, except for maybe Dave, the topic's up, and I hope you guys have fun with that because it's different. There you go. That's it. That's the end of my plug.
Okay. Yeah, no, it sounds awesome. Check your message and or your inbox, I mean. The next poem I put on the board is by Mr. David Prophet, our storyteller poet. And then, like I said, we all have four. So, David, show us what you got, please.
Okay, well, this poem's not quite like everybody else's. I was looking at this lady in the prompt, and she just looked like she was having too much fun to herself. So this is called They Don't Know Who I Really Am. The Confessions of Dahlia Crimson. My name is Dahlia Crimson, that you never seen the likes of me. You have no protective talisman. You could be my favorite quarry. Not always like you see me now. In my pleasure shows the real me. Shows my face as of reality somehow when it comes over me. You just have to see. Creeping under my skin lodges its feelings within. My center of all sensuality. At times it brings me to my knees, perhaps from heaven or maybe hell. I shan't refuse to go under its spell. Its bright, grinding urgency, climactic in its thaumaturgy, rolls my pale eyes back in my head, arches my long torso backwards instead, turns my green eyes so very pale, makes me shudder and wail. I sweat profusely under my gown. It trickles down me all around. Between my snowy mountain range, I murmur in tongues queer and strange. Ecstasy beyond my wildest descriptions, these vampire-driven ancient prescriptions. Timeless magic from the Egyptians. I touch those hieroglyphic subscriptions. Bound, forever bound in my silver chains, my tattooed symbolism the same as those on the pyramid walls, pyramid texts from Anubis halls. I'll steal your souls if you get too close. I'll even let you suck my toes. I'm uncontrollable within my throes, my vampire sexual alter ego. Surging waves of pleasure over and over again. Fear not my vampire's kiss, carries no pain. You may think you're sacrificial lamb. They don't know who I really am. I love carrying this dark secret of mine, my sensuality honed so very fine. Makes me weak in the knees. I am addicted to its pleas. I've become so very twisted, my humanity swept away as if it had never existed, leaving me with no remorse. I love the way it makes me feel. I'm a very bad girl. They don't know who I really am. I'm my own showgirl. I am the nastiest one you'll ever see. I love the smell of gunpowder and cotton candy. I love myself when I'm like this. The dark mother loves kissing me on my lips. Sometimes she lets slip to some man named David. She says she loves him. She won't let me touch him in my wildest whim. I like the way she smells. All those arrows from him. All those William Tells. All his crystal black arrows are always ringing. Hell's Bells, end poem.
My, oh my, oh my. You know, there were a lot of pieces of yourself in between the lines here, David, between, of course, the Dark Mother, Narnia. You got her gunpowder and cotton candy scents. You have toes. So, like, all little pieces that put part of your personality in the lines. Not always like you see me now. Not always like you see me now. In my pleasure shows the real me, shows my faces of reality somehow when it comes over me. You just have to see. And there's something about that stanza because aside from the poem, it's one of those things, it's not always what you see or what it seems. It's sort of like a really cool way of saying don't judge the book by its cover for me. You mm-hmm. have to see, really see. And I really like that stanza. Forever bound in silver chains, my tattooed symbolism the same as those on the pyramid walls, pyramid text from Arubis halls. And the pyramid text, what a cool thought, the hieroglyphics as a text. It's not like they could grab their cell phone, so they did it like forever on the walls. So I really got a kick out of that concept right there. And then, of course, the little playfulness. I am a very bad girl. They don't know who I really am. I am my own showgirl. And there's just something like it shows confidence, strength. You don't know who I am, but I am my own showgirl. So, like, there was a lot of, what would you say, like hidden messages in here of be yourself. Don't judge the book by its character. I'm strong enough to be my own showgirl. So I thought that there was a lot of depth in here, Dave. Very interesting approach to the picture. I didn't know where you would go, but I should have known it in some way, one way or another, that our dark mother would come into play. Really fun share.
Yep.
Great details.
Thank you.
Hatter, what you think? Uh-oh. My studio's dropping people. Did Hatter put a message? I don't see one. Sky, what you think?
Yeah, so because I connect everything to different fandoms, I know when anybody tells me a story, my brain does this thing, and it has nothing to do with your story having the same storyline. It's just I have such a brain that likes to connect all my previous knowledge to my new knowledge. And so when you're reading this, I'm thinking Dana Newman from, I don't know if you've ever seen The 13 Ghosts, but she's the one in the tub. I'm thinking like Harley Quinn. I'm like picturing this thing, and it's like a whole new character that might go in the categories of those characters. And I'm like, how awesome is this? You know, it's like if you have genres of fiction and nonfiction and fantasy. My brain does that with characters because I'm such a fan of character writing that mm-hmm. when I think of, you know, when I think of Samwise, I think of other, like, I think of Robin, right? Because Robin is, like, the hero, too, of Batman. Like, and I think of those characters that support the leading person. So it's just I tend to group my characters into groups. I don't know. But I was just, this is so cool. So I don't know about the toes thing, Dave. I kind of cringed at that part. But it's cool, though. Like, I'm glad you have it in there. Like, poetry should be able to show you a different wealth. I mean, everybody has their own thing. But also, when you're able to visibly construe someone's face, you know, like, they're getting involved. They're really interested in the poetry. It's a good thing. But I was like, oh no. But, yeah, I thought this was cool. There was another part, too, right here. You kind of brought in that macabre, the, you know, the fear not my vampire's kiss, caresses no pain. Again, I'm thinking of this dark enchantress. And again, I'm going to have to start going with, you know, that poison ivy vibe, that please kiss me, and then my lips are filled with poison and you're going to die, you know, from Batman too. So, I mean, it's just really cool. I love when there are new characters in my life that I can kind of say, oh, this is really cool. And even though you bring in the Dark Mother, like you bring her in a lot of your poetry, it's not always like she's always doing something different. Like sometimes we're out in space and now we're doing this like, I don't know, it's really like dark but a sensual character. And so I really like the diversity that you're able to implement to that character and how she kind of morphs to fit the context of your writing. And I don't know if I'm saying what I want to say right, but I hope I am. But yeah, that's, she's like a changeling almost, and you can kind of go into any background story. Yeah, and I like that you do that. Like she just kind of fits in. Really well done. Sorry, Deb.
Thank you.
I've talked for a long time.
Thanks, Scott.
Not a problem at all. I'm glad that there's Hatter. I was going to say, I'm glad that you got such an amazing comment because it seemed like a whole bunch dropped at the same time. I don't know if it was intentional or not. Hatter, did you get to hear Dave's story before your call dropped?
I had a bunch of people walk into the room.
It must have been.
Yeah, no, I wasn't able to.
Okay, I just wanted to check because, like, Sweet had about an hour, but then it just seemed like you and she and Wayne all dropped at the same time, so I wanted to double check. Okay. Well, you should check it out when the show's over because it's really awesome, and it's got all kinds of different levels to it. There's hidden messages, and, of course, the Dark Mother's in there, but it's really clever. All right, you guys, we have four left. Two are recorded and two need readers. And the first recording I have is by Stephen. So I also am adding to, right under the links, you'll see I added a link to his page. And you can check out, he has a bunch of books that he has released in his Eerie series. And if you go to his profile page, you can click on any of the books and check out his books. That's Stephen 76, Eerie Series. And if you just go ahead and click on his poem, I will push his recording.
Regan was the devil's bride, annulled by priestly suicide. Of sets of missing thumbs and toes, sand-covered relics in desert throes, epochs stop upon Sanskrit through unfriendly faces with eyes that grip. Phallic serpent and dogs that fight, lower fang jaw grins at night, upstairs crash and rattle noise, matriarchal worrying. But holding poise. Little girl hair ties and pony pines, hunger in the subway as religion binds, a Rio Ouija board opens doors for Captain Howdy, House of Horrors. Mattress tremors, attic rattle, musty loft with sounds of battle, save your mother with antlered chest, loss of faith put to the test. To champagne falls and canopy plate, director makes server irate. Speak of death and piss on rug. Tottering bed is more than snug. Medical science overrules. Fiery being grins at fools. From tea party giggles to foul mouth. Childlike purity now forced out. Walk in freezer with a quilted cot. Sharpened teeth from growling tot. Head does spin and armoire slides. Behind cute face a demon hides. Khaki green vomit stains the skin, vessel possession of original sin, and twisted tongues and backward speech, pious water does burn with heat. help me scratched in stomach veins, fear the priest of Marin Baines, falsity truth to get in head, mucus covers, lenses shed. Howls and growls and slashing skin, frames do rock and cranium spin, power from above compels, sends you back to burn in hell. Leave her be, come into me, suicide does set me free. End poem.
Wow. Okay, for starters, anyone who has seen the classic original knows that that was the theme music for The Exorcist playing in the background, which was a nice touch to add to this, as are those clips that you see there, Regan floating above her bed while they were trying the exorcism, and I can almost hear, he's saying no, but for some reason in my mind, I'm kind of hearing like the power of Christ compels you type of thing. And
yeah,
for its time, like her head spun around. She was vomiting, and there was axe with a crucifix, and it was horrifying. So off the poem for just a second, I can't even imagine what the one that just came out yesterday is like, because of the advances in like special effects and stuff like that. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing it. But back to the poem, I love the details here, like to champagne falls and canopy plate, director makes server irate, speak of death and piss on rug, tottering bed and more than snug. Little girl hair ties and pony pines, hunger in the subway as religion binds, Aria Ouija board opens doors for Captain Howdy's house of horrors. The little details there that are like driving the poem. Walk in freezer with a quilted cot, sharpened teeth from growling tot, head to spin, an armoire slides, behind cute face a demon hides. Just that stanza right there is an excellent into the movie, because at the time, like, she was just so young and she was pretty and innocent, and then they take her and they turn her into this hissing, vomiting, morbid acting monster, and even though there's all these acts going on, you're feeling really bad for her because you know that there's a little girl that's being held captive by these demons. So and khaki green vomit stains the skin. I mean, he took all the details, the creepiest pieces of the movie, and brought them in full living color to help drive the poem along. I think that he did a spectacular job with this, and like I'm really, really glad he sent it in. And man, like I said, adding the theme music for the movie itself was a brilliant touch as well. What a great share, Stephen. Thank you so much. Hatter, did you see this movie? The original Exorcist? Oh, his call's dropped again. What the heck? David, did you see The Exorcist?
Yes, I did. I saw it a couple of times. The way, you know, I reflected on this movie a number of times and thought about it. You know, when it first opens up, it shows Regan and her mom interacting with each other, and it shows what a lovely young woman she is, you know, and then to see her get transformed into this demon that cranks its head around backwards and stabs itself with a crucifix and swears, and you know, and just is exactly 180% opposite of what she started out to be, you know. Yeah, it was a real powerful movie. It really was. It was just really heavy duty, I thought. And, you know, it's funny, when I walked out of the theater, there was a whole bunch of people standing outside the theater, you know, and they were trying to make light of this film, you know, and they were saying, oh, this is crazy, it's not scary. And I walked up to one of them, they were handing these things out, and I didn't even take one. And I said, if you think this was funny or not scary, I said, then you need to do a reality check. I said, because it was damn scary. And I said, you know, I've been around the world a long time, and it scared the hell out of me. So if it didn't scare you, then there's something wrong with you. That's what I told them. So,
I agree.
This was really wrong.
Terrifying.
Go ahead, Ben. Yeah, and I mean, anybody that's seen it, you know, doesn't pass it off lightly. I mean, it's, you know, it was really scary, and like you, I'll probably go watch the newest version of it, I suppose. I don't know what else to call it. Is it called The Exorcist, or is it Exorcist 2, or you know what it's called?
It's called The Exorcist Believer. And the woman who played Reagan's mom is actually in this one, the actress who played.
So
I know there's more than one child that's possessed in this one. But just from, like, the previews and stuff, it looks wicked. And like I was saying, with the technology that they have now, as spooky and gritty and horrific as it was the first time, can you imagine what their skill can do with it now? I'm really looking forward to seeing how it turns out. And I do think that it's always a nice touch when you try to recreate the horror of something to include someone from the original. I don't know if she is or isn't Linda Blair. I guess it's possible, but I don't know if she's in it or not. But like I said, I know the woman. I can't think of the actress's name. That's terrible. But I know that she is in this one as well. Yeah. But I think Stephen did a great job capturing it here.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, it really, anybody that's watched the movie can tell that Stephen's watched it too, just by the poem he wrote.
All righty. Well, David, it looks like you and I for the last three. So if you click on Gerald's recording, I'll push play and we will get those done.
Okay. Which one's next?
Gerald.
Oh, Gerald. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Offspring, written and read by Gerald Green. The love of my life was once cheerful, with laughter so hard it was tearful. I loved her wide smile and affable style, but now she's both angry and fearful. Her mindset was changed by our children. Each daughter grew up like a Karen, with critical tongue from when they were young. She now wishes she had been barren. Our sons quickly changed her demeanor, becoming both darker and meaner. Refusing to play, they ruin each day and make other pastures look greener. At 33, she has forgotten, as if she's now old and besotten, how harmony thrived with things organized before our kids' mean became rotten. She now is both stern and demanding. The scowl of her jowl is expanding. She sits on her throne and rules alone, with anger both great and long-standing.
That's cool.
Wow. That ending there, she now is both stern and demanding. The scowl of her jowl is expanding. She sits on her throne and rules all alone with anger, both great and long-standing. The limerick chain was a clever way to present this one. I'm trying to think. The other one I like, in the second stanza, her mindset was changed by our children. Each daughter grew up like a Karen, with critical tongue from when they were young. She now wishes she had been barren. Now, I mean, that part made me giggle. It's pretty bad if you're wishing that you couldn't have had the kids, you know. And if you look at that picture, she's got this look on her face. The love of my life was once cheerful, with laughter so hard it was tearful. I loved her wide smile and affable style, but now she's both angry and fearful. Like I said, it was really a clever touch to go with the limerick chain. I like the story. I like the unexpected way that Gerald has of presenting stuff to us. And it's not intentional, because I don't read any of the poems ahead of time, because I like to be hit by my first impression. But it's pretty cool how we go from deep and dark to one with a little bit of humor to deep and dark, and the between the variety and the way they just coincidentally falls in the presentation, it's just awesome. And I think that I hang around with some of the best poets on allpoetry.com, present company present company included. I mean, the talent that you bring just to my show every Monday night, you guys, blows me away. I'm always in awe by the time I wrap up a show, let alone all the other ones that you support in between everyone. And in case we haven't said it lately, you are so appreciated by every part of the host and hosting team, and by the board of All Poetry. I mean, I'm sorry, by the board members of A Team of Voices. None of the shows would be the same. Well, we wouldn't have any shows without contributors, because people would get bored of just listening to the team read their own stuff. But the mix of clever minds that provide entertainment for these shows is mind-blowing. And the recorded presentations are just as fabulous as the live reads. And I appreciate every single one of you from the bottom of my heart. Awesome share, Gerald. Thank you so much. And what did you think, David?
Oh, I like this a lot. You know, it starts out, kind of introduces you to this lady's plight, you know, and then she sort of morphs into something different, you know. It says her mindset was changed by our children. Each daughter grew up like a Karen with critical tongue from when they were young. She now wishes she had been barren. I like that. Barren is an old biblical term for, you know, I know you know this, but for anybody else that's listening that didn't, barren means that the woman is not able to bear children, you know, and I think it's a pretty neat way of you know, describing that. And a lot of parents nowadays, their kids get them buffaloed, especially when they're in their teens. And the parents are almost give up on them, or they don't want to try and correct them late in life and stuff. But the last stanza here, it says, she now is both stern and demanding. The scowl of her jowl is expanding. She sits on her throne and rules alone with anger both great and longstanding. So that tells me she's not taking any crap off her kids, which I think is good. It sort of turns the... it puts the entire poem in a little bit different light on the last stanza there. I think Gerald did a really good job with that. He always surprises us with his interpretation of the picture prompt. And as far as our writing group goes, I have always felt honored to be in this group. I always felt like I was rubbing elbows with some of the best poets on All Poetry, and I still think I am. If I didn't think that, I wouldn't be here. And Deb, you have done such a fantastic job of guiding everybody. Everybody has learned something off you. I don't care who it is, and you make the whole thing fly. You make it fun. You make it interesting, and that's you are the whole main reason that I'm in here. That and the quality of the poetry that we will share here. So give yourself a pat on the back there, my lady.
Aw, thank you, David. That was a really nice thing to say. I appreciate it very much. I'm not good at giving myself a pat on the back, but I'll just bask in the one that you just gave me.
Okay.
Cool. All right, I have two left. We have one for Angel and one for Jenny the Deep. So how about I read Angel's and you read Jenny's, and then we'll get out of here? Sound like a plan?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan to me.
All righty. So click on Angel's, and I will read that.
Okay, hold on. Oh, there we wait a minute. Oh, okay, I got it now.
All righty. This is called All Hallows' Eve. She Returns by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. All Hallows' Eve, the night she will rise from her death chamber, cloaked in the same blood-red shroud they hung her in. Fools, thinking a noose would end her. 300 years she waited for her revenge on those seeking her demise. No matter they are long since dead, their families live. And she will smile as they beg for their lives. Evil flashes in her serpent eyes, and she practically drools in anticipation. Underneath an overcast sky, she stands atop a ridge, biding her time until the Dark One speaks his commands. With a smile of demonic proportions, she can't wait until the slaughter begins, when she can taste their fear and feel the last beat of their hearts beneath her fingertips. All Hallows' Eve, the night they will return to hell with her. End poem. Ooh.
Wow.
You know, you got to like when Angel steps into the darkness. I don't know what
yeah.
it is. I read her work, and I just sort of, I step into character. And this one was really fun. The deep, dark
mm-hmm.
detail. The thought of her waiting to get her revenge. And I like that line, fools. They thought that
yeah.
a noose would hit her. Just really, really brilliant details. Underneath an overcast sky, she stands atop a ridge, biding her time. And it goes perfectly with the art, too. I mean, she pulled the details
mm-hmm.
from there and used it to haunt us. I think this came out brilliantly. And I think I said it last week, too, but you got to love when our hallmark poetess steps into the darkness. Great share, Angel,
yeah.
and it's my honor to be your reader. What do you think of the poem, Dave?
Oh, I you know, when I see something that Angel writes, the first thing I think of is lightness and beauty and angels and God, and that sort of thing, you know? And then when she steps into the darkness, she is real good at that, you know, and it sort of takes my breath away and goes, wow, this is really good, you know, and it's scary and it's written by Angel far out, you know. I mean, that's the way I looked at it. It just shows what an excellent poetess she is, you know. This was really, really good. It's one of my faves that she's done. But yeah.
Fantastic
good job,
comment. Awesome comment. Okay, and the last poem of the night is on the board, so please read for me, David.
Oh, okie dokie. Let me see here. Let me refresh my page. Oh, Jenny the Deep. Okay. And this is by Jenny the Deep, and it's called Drowning in Lies, Unable to See the Truth. I saw this particular picture I almost picked it, but I like the other one better. Picking my heart across the floor, letting the blood rain down from my brain. You have exposed all of who I am inside, filling me slowly. My secrets are hung to dry, used and betrayed us for so long. Her vindictive past haunts her now. No one trusts her, cemented alone. She sinks, deceiving the wrong people. It's catastrophic. Can no longer withstand her dramatic hurricane. I'm drained. I'm only human. I can't. I won't be fooled again. Torn to pieces, drowning in an ocean. Eyes crying. Who can be... I'm sorry. Who can be believed as sullen storm stalks? Please don't fool us again like the girl before. Lives are in danger of ending with words spoken. Hearsay is destroying a foundation once strong. Lost in the dark, fear takes over broken hearts. End poem. Wow.
Awesome. Yeah. Drowning in lies, unable to see the truth. The picture is really creepy, and like,
yeah,
her bones, she's nearly skeletal. The face that she's looking at, or the mask even, just really creepy. And I like the powerful emotion that she put in there. You have exposed all of who I am inside, killing me slowly. My secrets are hung to dry. There's such that I feel so bad for the woman in the art. When you feel exposed, it's a horrible feeling that you can't shake. Can no longer withstand her dramatic hurricane. I'm drained. I'm only human. I can't. I won't be fooled again. Torn to pieces. Drowning in ocean's eyes, crying. Who can be believed as sullen storms stalk? And sometimes when you're raked over the coals and hung out to dry, and someone exposes the deepest pieces of your core, and just it's like, you know, a mega gut punch, and you are drained. Mm-hmm. It's like such a tragic feeling, and like I said, it's one that you just can't seem to shake. It's like a haunting, and I think she captured it quite well. She totally made the picture come to life with sad, powerful, emotional lines to draw us in. Excellent share, Jenny, and great read, Dave. What do you think of the poem?
Oh, I liked it. It was fun to read. I like the way the number one stanza starts out, kicking my heart across the floor. Gee, I've never done that before. We all have, you know. Any time that we've been in, you've let your heart out on its leash to someone, it's always subject to come back being kicked or whatever, abused, you know. Killing me slowly, my secrets are hung to dry. Sometimes we're really hurt. Sometimes we feel like a fool. Sometimes both, you know. And, you know, you have to be nice to yourself when that happens. You have to say, okay, I was just, you know, I'm just human. You know, I believe what someone told me. I guess they were lying to me, or they really weren't so sincere. Please don't fool us again like the girl before. Our lives are in danger of ending with words spoken. Lives are in danger. I don't know about that, but it says of ending with words spoken. You know, words are a lot more damaging than physical things most of the time. I mean, most of the time we forget about, you know, getting cut or poked or, you know, smacked around or something, you know, but we never seem to forget the words and our subconscious just latches onto them and it doesn't even forget them, you know. it can recite them and play them back to us at the worst possible time sometimes. And, you know, that's, I don't know. This is really a powerful poem. I didn't realize that this Jenny was such a good poetess. She really is. And she's a great storyteller, too. So way to go, Jenny Hunt. I like your stuff.
Like I said, the privilege of hanging out with some of the best poets on the site, and they participate in the show. What a lucky person I am. What a lucky group we are.
Yeah,
so,
that's for sure.
Yeah. So right about now, I usually let people know what my show will be about next week. I found a new artist. Well, maybe not new, but he was new to me. And his name is Tony Morrow. And he has a variety of different art, but also could fall into the darkness category. And I've been saving photos of his that I stumble across in a folder for, I think, about 2 years now. And I finally had the 45 that I needed to, because I like to give at least 3 or 4 options to each person that I anticipate will participate. I think that's how it's easy for you guys to find prompts that tickle your muse, because I try to tailor a few of them to each of you. And
And you do a really fine job at that too, Deborah. I mean, all the poems and the prompts that I see, I can see something of myself in them, or I want to address them or experiment with them or whatever. And I can tell you do that. It's not just shotgun a bunch of pictures up on a web page and then call it good. You know, you give a lot of thought to that, and it ain't lost on me, that's for sure.
Well, I look at it as a way of letting each of you know that I see you and that I pay attention to what you present, and it helps me to figure out what I think might inspire the people. you know, Dave, I often send you pictures in your inbox just because I saw it and it was like, oh, my gosh, David would love this. Just send it.
I was going to say that.
And what I find it is when I find something like that and I forward it to you, for example, and then the next thing I know I hear from you, oh, the poem I wrote for that picture you sent me made the front page, or that poem you sent me, I scored first 10, stuff like that. That's why I do this. I do this to help you guys realize how great you are. And there's nothing quite as much like seeing your work get picked for the front page, you know, and if I can be just a little piece of that, just by inspiring your muse, it makes my day. So, and that's why the picture.
I have learned so much being in your group, Deborah. I really have all of it. Right at first, all the suggestions for me to cut my. Content down a little bit. Finally started working on it, and God bless you, you put in a 350-word limit on the picture prompts, and I actually have a word counter thing built into I've got a website to count all the words, and before I usually post it on the page, I'll see if it's anywhere close to 350 words. Most of the time it's right on or a little bit below, but I think this last one I did was a little over, but you know, most of it is just a time situation. I understand that, and so that's why I try to expedite my reads as fast as I can if I know it's a little over. So I've always go ahead Deb.
Oh, I was going to say that the 350 is more or less a guideline, but I also thought that it forces us, and myself too, because I can get long-lined and long-winded and over, I tend to go heavy with adjectives, and if I try to force myself to fit in a specific word count, it helps teach me to better describe something in a stanza, where instead of using three
yep.
stanzas to say something, you can say something pretty well in one stanza and
yeah.
also hold the interest of the people reading the poem. So, you know, it was a learning curve for all of us, and I found that aside from, like you said, because if everybody showed up with a 1,000-word poem, I would only get 5 poems on the show. But it
yeah.
forced us to be able to say what we wanted to say in fewer words. And I
mm-hmm.
think, you know, pretty cool. But, David, I really think that you'll like this Tony Morrow guy, because he has a knack for turning women into characters that you can run
oh,
with.
Cool.
I think that you're going to have a hard time picking from these because of the fact that you can go wild with the stories that come with them. And he seems to have a penchant for redheads, too, so there's quite a few of those in here. But I did find some men from him and a few, like a horse and a few others that aren't, say, gender-specific. But some of his women characters open up for interpretation, and
mm-hmm.
I bet you could go wild with them. So I hope you have fun with that
yeah.
for next week. But I put
oh,
the
I will.
Links on the board.
I'm looking at them right now.
Awesome. And I put the links on the board for everything that's coming up again. It's just a quick refresher. Tomorrow night at 9 is Hatter's Jukebox. He's doing CCR, the band. Wednesday is Sky and the Haunting of Hill House miniseries. Thursday is Sweet Pea, and she's got some old English words that aren't really used anymore, and some of them and their definitions are really, really cool. I'm sure one of them will tickle the fancy of anybody reading them. On Friday, it's Liquid Damage Lounge with Open Poetry. On Saturday night, it is The Last Crystal Ball at 9 o'clock with me and AP and Hatter. And on Sunday, I don't know who will be featured quite yet as far as all the serial killers of the world, but Murder and Mayhem with JCA and Sweet will be on at 10 Eastern. Just keep an eye on the topic board for that. And then that brings us back here same time next week with me for the Tony Morrow Dark Art Show. Looking forward to that. And on that note, I would like to again thank our sponsor, AP Taylor, also a board member, and thank you to Sweet Pea and Jay Hatter, the other two board members. The four of us make a good team, and I love how everything's turned out here, and we are tiptoeing towards our 5th anniversary in March. Who could have thought? I mean, it feels like we just started, and we're about to celebrate our 5th anniversary. And we are listened to in 75 countries around the world. I find that amazing. And I would like to say... Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
What's that? Oh, I'm just going to say, Sunday, the people in my church get up and they stand up in front of the congregation and they talk about can't think what it's called now. It's just kind of talking. It's called their testimony. That's it. And so I decided to stand up there and talk. I didn't really know what I was going to say, but I just got up there anyway. And there's about 100 people in the congregation, and it's a pretty high-end church. It's got a pulpit with microphones on it and a PA system, the whole nine yards. So I stand up there, and I started talking about one of the subjects of that the minister or the bishop was talking about was gifts, you know. And, I stood up and I said, well, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. And so I talked about my guitar playing, and I told these folks that I've been playing for about 51, 52 years. And I said, that's a gift from God. And, I haven't given up on it because, you know, I made him a promise that I would try and be the best guitar player I could be. And then the other part of it was talking about writing and poetry. And I said, I belong to this poetry group. And I said, well, I belong to two or three of them, but I said, I only really participate in one of them. And I told them all about us, you know. And I said, we have these picture prompts that we get to write to. And I said, the gal that picks these out spends a lot of time, you know, researching each one of them and saying, yeah, this one would be good for David and this one would be good for Pam. And I didn't use those names, but anyway, and I told him, I said, I didn't realize that when I first started writing poetry that I considered that a gift of God. I said, I've done fairly well with it. I said, I've won some awards with it. I've said, I've had some front page picks. And I said, this website that I'm on is a global community. I said, it reaches all completely around the globe on it. And I said, I never thought I would get that way. And so I said, it's a gift from God. And, you know, and we have so many people in this group that write as good as or better than me. And so that's a gift of God too. So, you know, I put my 2 cents worth in with God and for us, you know. Does that make any sense?
I agree. I totally agree that creativity is a gift. And I, for one, am glad I have it. I have to have a creative outlet somewhere, you know. I wish I could draw.
Yeah, I know you do.
Instead, I make shape poetry or just write. But, yeah, it's therapeutic sometimes.
Yeah, it really
all
is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. On that note, I'd like to say thank you to Stephen and Angel and Jenny and Gerald and Wayne and Sky and Sweet and Hatter and AP and to David for sticking with me till the last moment and helping me wrap up the show tonight. I appreciate you all very, very much and look forward to hanging out with you next week when we feature the art by Toni Morrow. And on that note, since we started the show with an amazing song and I filled your head with all the information you need to learn about Josh Stone and the song itself, and a reminder that Hatter will play the most famous version of the song tomorrow night when he features Creedence Clearwater Revival at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. But on that note,
cool.
We will go out with my favorite version of the song, I Put a Spell on You, by the one and only Joss Stone. Love and respect, everyone. Thank you so much. I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. Here we go. Love and respect.
Good night, David.
Night, David.
I love it how you guys just stand up and just chat. It's great. Yeah, have a chat. Okay, no, seriously, though. I will sing, I promise. I know there's some people in here like, God, I wish that woman would shut up. Okay. Because
Josh Stone, everyone. Thanks again, David. Night, everyone.
Oh, you're welcome, David. Thank you.